This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Three charter amendments put forth by the San Antonio Professional Firefighters Union are going to be on the November ballot. A, B, and C include capping the salaries and tenures of future city managers, requiring the city enter into arbitration over labor contract disputes with the firefighters, and lowers the signature requirements for city petitions. We're joined by Mayor Ron Nuremberg to talk about these charter amendments proposals and his opposition to them. And you can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. You can tweet at us at TPR Source. We're also on Facebook Live. We'll be taking questions from folks who see us on Facebook. I also want to express that we have had Chris Steele, the head of the Firefighters Union, on the show in the past talking about these charter proposals, and we invite him to come on again anytime he can squeeze us into his busy schedule to come on and talk about it and take your questions. We would welcome Chris Steele to come on the air and do just like Mayor Ron Nuremberg is doing, which is face the public, take the questions, and give answers and have transparency. So, and again, the number is 210-614-8980. Mayor Ron Nuremberg, welcome back to The Source.
Hi, good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for having me.
So early voting is coming up pretty quick, just a few weeks away. People in San Antonio will be deciding on A, B, or C on the charter changes. How do you feel about that?
Well, this is one of the most important elections of our time because the three propositions that would dramatically change the way our city operates and the kind of consensus building that occurs in City Hall to get really important things done, streets and sidewalks, drainage, public safety, would be put into gridlock, and special interests and their agenda would be inserted into our day-to-day lives. I've been entrusted with using my best judgment to move this city forward. And we have 10 different council districts with a great diversity of needs. And we have been working over the years to move our city forward. And we're on great momentum. I mean, the city is in one of the best positions it has been in our lifetime. We have a UTSA downtown campus coming. We have great economic development occurring in all sectors of town. Our unemployment is at historic lows. The crime wave that overtook many cities, including ours a few years ago, we're now year over year down 19% in Category 1 crimes, and we're at historic lows in violent crime. Our city is in great momentum. These propositions would make our momentum come to a screeching halt, and that's not coming from me. That's coming from the objective analysis that we are required to have an economist do whenever there's a charter change put on the ballot. These charter amendments are by special interests, for special interests. They would end up raising our taxes, slashing public services, and dividing our community. And when someone or an entity tries to harm our city, as mayor, it is my duty to defend it, and that's what I'm doing in asking people to vote no on these propositions.
I want to hear more about this economist study of this proposal. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
So state statute requires cities, whenever there's a charter amendment, charter change put onto the ballot, to perform an economic impact assessment, an independent one. So it's not done by in-house city staffers. We have to hire out an economist, someone who's qualified to do these kinds of things. The city did that. It was presented to the city council and to the public several weeks ago when the petitions were certified. And the conclusion is very clear, and I'll read it directly from the report. It says, if these charter amendments go into effect, the city of San Antonio will be placed into an environment of policymaking and management that is uncharted. This will bring about a level of policy uncertainty during both good and bad economic times that will slow economic growth and have large economic and fiscal impacts to the city. The severe constraints the amendments will place on the city's budget will necessitate that new revenue sources be found, possibly through the increase in tax rates and/or many public services be cut. These impacts will impede economic development and impact quality of life in San Antonio. The rest of the report describes what would occur, and that's billions of dollars of economic slowdown. In addition to that, we also were warned by the three credit rating agencies that determine our fiscal health, that set our interest rates. And they said if these three amendments pass, we will suffer negative consequences to our fiscal ratings, meaning that our AAA rating, our perfect credit rating that manages tax resources, will go down and interest payments will go up. That means that more of your tax dollar, your hard-earned money that goes to pay for streets and sidewalks and police services and libraries, will go instead to interest payments and out of city services, lowering, slashing city services, and causing your taxes to go up if we expect the same level of service in the future.
All right, we have Mayor Ron Nuremberg with us in the studios of The Source this afternoon. If you've got a question or a comment for him about the proposed charter amendments, you can give us a call, 210-614-8980, like Chris has. And Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, sir. I think Nuremberg said it just right, and the independent economic summary that he read was perfect, and it makes perfect sense. You don't ever let non-business people run the business of the city, and if they say that's right, then that's what you do. EMS is outstanding. The fire department is outstanding. I think they're one and the same. I'm not sure exactly what the division is between them. In the past, both have somewhat become intoxicated with their power and forget that they work for the people of San Antonio, the hardworking people of South Texas. And keep up the good work, Mayor and Manager Scully.
All right, Chris, thank you for the call. I'm going to go over to Anna. Anna, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just had a question. One of the amendments is in relation to the city manager salary. And something just came out within the last couple of days about the 21 highest paid employees in the city of San Antonio. And a lot of them are directors and they're making over $200,000 a year. And the manager is making over $600,000, which just compared to 5 years ago is a huge increase. And I realize that all the negatives about voting for the amendments, but how do we keep those salaries in check? It doesn't seem right that, for example, the director of Parks and Recreation is making almost $100,000 more than the head of NISD.
All right, Anna, thank you so much. So Mayor Ron Nuremberg, the salary of Cheryl Scully, city manager. We have about a minute. We'll go to break. We'll continue the conversation.
Yeah, the fire union leader, Chris Steele, and his paid consultants have made Cheryl Scully and her salary the issue for the last 4 years. They've been spending millions of dollars of ads to vilify her and to call into question the salary. But this truly is not about the current city manager. In fact, it doesn't even affect the current city manager. This is about the fact that we are the fastest growing city in the country right now. And in order to continue the momentum and to continue the development that is quality for all of us, the benefits that come off of the growth of the city for all of us, we have to have the best talent managing our city. In impairing the council's ability to find the best talent by putting arbitrary caps on the salary and the tenure is not the way we hire out, find the best talent to manage your tax dollars.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to hear some more. I'm going to ask more questions about this issue of about capping the city manager's salary and also their tenure, how long they can serve in the city and what that would mean for the function of a city like San Antonio. And you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Ask a question of Mayor Ron Nuremberg about these charter changes. We're going to be back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're speaking with Mayor Ron Nuremberg. He's in the studio this afternoon. He's taking your calls and questions, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the proposed charter amendments. He is opposed to them, A, B, and C. He says they will destabilize San Antonio, raise your taxes, and cut back on the city's services. One of these amendments is about the city manager, and it would curb the city manager's salary and also cut back on the tenure, how long the future city managers could serve in San Antonio. So, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, tell me, how would that destabilize a city?
Yeah, and let me just go back to something you just said. It's not just me who is against these amendments and saying that there's these negative impacts and our economy and our services will suffer. It's the economists, it's the experts, it's the objective opinion of the people who make the determination about how healthy we are and what's going to happen to our city. It's not my opinion. These are the objective facts in black and white. Now, with regard to the city manager, this is what the fire union and the special interests want this to be about. But let's be clear, it's not about our current city manager. It's about the fastest growing city in the country that needs the best talent that we can find to manage your tax resources. And we can't simply put arbitrary limits on the city council's ability in the future to find the best talent. The tenure, for instance, capping the future city manager's tenure at 8 years and lowering or putting a cap on the salary, that would take us out of being able to compete for the top talent for city managers. And mind you, this is a person that is going to manage $2.8 billion of your tax dollars, as well as manage 12,200 employees that serve you. We need to have qualified people to do that. And imagine this. You try to go out and hire a new city manager, and you tell them if you do a good job, in 8 years, you're out of here. Not only that, but we're going to pay you less than your peers. Because, mind you, the way this salary is set, this amendment would set the salary lower than the current city manager of Bryan, Texas. We would be out of the running for talent that goes to first-tier large cities. And so much so that I would venture to tell you that even the local talent that is working their way up through the ranks of our current city organization would have to look elsewhere. If they knew that they had to move their family into a place where in 8 years they'd be gone, you can guarantee that you're going to get a lame duck city manager who's looking for the next place as soon as they walk in the door of San Antonio. But let me give you a reference point. The median salary of a city employee is $64,000. The median salary and wages of a San Antonio firefighter is $142,000. The city manager last year made $450,000. That is on par with other city managers across the country, yet we are top two of largest city manager council forms of government in the country. If you want to talk about outrageous salaries, though, the person who orchestrated this mess, Chris Steele, the head of the fire union, is not currently credentialed to actually be a firefighter. And during this period of time, since 2005, we've paid him $3 million in salary and benefits for a job that he's not even qualified to do. And because he's a union leader, we have to keep him employed. And during that period of time, we've had to pay another $1.7 million for somebody else to do the job that he's not qualified to do. That's outrageous. The fact that $181,000 a year is going to Chris Steele to do stuff like this rather than to actually fight fires. Meanwhile, the people who are actually dependent on him coming to the table to negotiate a contract have been for 4 years without raises and without a new contract while he's playing political games. I can tell you if the firefighters in San Antonio deserve better leadership than Chris Steele, and taxpayers deserve better than what they have gotten with these propositions that he's orchestrated to give himself more power in our city.
The number to call in, 210-614-8980, Mayor Ron Nuremberg in the studio of Texas Public Radio, The Source. Miguel is on the line. Miguel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Davies, and thank you for coming out today, Mr. Mayor Nuremberg. You touched on it a little bit before, sir. The fact of the matter is, with the type of municipal government that we have here, we need to be attracting the best and brightest city managers. At the term limit thing and the capping of the salary, I hope you could talk a little bit more about the comparable salaries across other growing cities, because as I seem to recall, we have a very, very comparable salary. It's not out of the scope of other city managers of the type of municipal government that we have. So
okay.
I hope you would speak a little more to that.
Thank you, Miguel, for that question. Appreciate it. And now, Mayor Ron Nuremberg.
I want to speak to two things. Thank you for your call, Miguel. before I get to the salary portion, the tenure of the city manager, I think arguably you could say that the three most prosperous eras of San Antonio in recent memory have been under the tenure of Cheryl Scully, Lou Fox, and Alex Briseno. All three of those city managers would have been fired because they all served over 10 years. If this amendment had been passed, there's no way we would have gotten that leadership in the town. But the question was about salary. ICMA, which is the acronym, but it's basically the association that oversees all city managers in the nation, and it helps professional development and city management. They have done a salary survey that shows that in Texas, city managers who preside over cities of 500,000 or larger are paid median salary of $375,000. We happen to have a city manager who has been the longest tenured in her career in multiple cities of any city manager, and has been also the most lauded and accoladed, or given the most accolades for the kind of professional development and team she's assembled for the success that she's brought to Phoenix and now San Antonio. Just as a marker, the city of Dallas has a new city manager, has been in the job for a little over a year, is being paid $395,000 in salary. The truth of the matter is, we don't like to say this, but you know, San Antonio has a deep issue with socioeconomic segregation, income inequality. And this is something under the current city council that was elected in a change election in 2017, we have dedicated ourselves towards. We have passed two city budgets that are dedicated to building equity in our community. And we have a strong team at City Hall and city management who are doing things like budgeting our streets according to the need rather than dividing everything up by 10 because that's the political jurisdiction. The truth of the matter is we are working on some very difficult issues, housing issues, gentrification, displacement. The only reason why we're able to move the needle on that is because we have great fiscal management and we have strong city leadership, elected city leadership, and in the city organization. The whole intent behind these propositions, particularly the one about the city manager, is to weaken that city leadership so that rather than us answering to those citizens who elected us and asked for change and delivering change, we're now having to have people elected that bend to the will of the special interest groups that threaten us with petitions for putting things onto the ballot. And the fire union boss in particular, and I say that because he is not a leader. Chris Steele is not a leader. He is putting this and perpetrating this in the public so he can exert control and create gridlock on the city that you own, that belongs to you. That is not power to the people. That is taking power from you, from the people.
Now, another caller, Angela.
Yes. Hello, Mayor. I wanted to ask, what has been your personal experience with Chris Steele? Because, you know, there's so many different points of view going around. And so I wanted to know, what has your personal experience been with him as far as negotiating?
All right, Angela, thank you for that call. I do want to bring up the fact that these are issues that have been going on before you were the mayor. These went on when Ivy Taylor was mayor. And there was conflict at that time as well.
Well, it was going...
It's not a personal thing between you and him, right?
No. I mean, this has become personal because I am here for the sole purpose. I spend my time and energy during the day and have less of it to do other things, like raise a 10-year-old son with my wife, because I have dedicated that time to improve the community that he will inherit. So that has become personal. I don't want people to hurt my city. I don't. But to answer the caller's question, yeah, this has been going on for a long time. It predates Ivy. It actually goes into Mayor Julian Castro, who should be credited for putting this on to our plates to finally solve it because it's been brewing for a long, long time. But I don't have any personal negotiating experience with Chris Steele. I wish I did. We've been basically asking him to come to the table to negotiate a contract that's been expired for 4 years for that period of time. I did have an experience with Chris Steele as a city council member where he came to the chambers and brought all of his cohorts with him to fill the chambers and try to bully us into not passing a balanced budget because it didn't do what he wanted it to do. And I stood up to him and I said, no, I answered the taxpayer, not to Chris Steele. And he turned his back on me and started addressing those folks in the audience rather than to have a conversation with me. That is Chris Steele. He doesn't come to the table. He doesn't confront the issues in a unified way that help us move San Antonio forward because he doesn't even live here. He actually lives in Converse, Texas. So this petition proposal that he put forward, he can't even sign the petitions that he created. And he actually can't vote in the election that he's telling people to go vote yes in. This is beyond absurd, Dave, and we need people who care about the future of San Antonio to make this their number one priority and go help other people understand how important it is to go vote no.
And so Chris Steele, he is the head of the Firefighters Union, and they are people like firefighters.
So do I. I have friends who are firefighters.
Firefighters save lives.
Absolutely. This isn't about firefighters who wear a uniform and actually go into the burning buildings and save people and move our city forward. They suffer, and they're suffering under the leadership of Chris Steele, who has refused to negotiate a contract and actually has perpetrated a petition drive that if these things actually pass, there's fewer resources for us to take care of those firefighters and their families. I can tell you all is not well in the House of the Union, because I think people are starting to wake up, firefighters included, and retirees, who I get calls from all the time. They're starting to understand that if Chris Steele is able to amass the power that he wants in City Hall, they all suffer. The truth of the matter is, we've asked him 10 times to come to the table to negotiate in the last 4 years. The last time I asked I told our team, don't just ask him to the table, bring a proposal. And if he doesn't show up, put it on the website. It's online. If somebody wants to look at what's being offered that Chris Steele won't even respond to, 12% pay raises, no health care premiums for members, extraordinary benefits, all the things that would make us a gold standard for union contracts. Yet it goes unanswered because they have this end game where they would rather have total, or he, Chris Steele, would rather have total leverage in City Hall to get even more. And the evidence is clear in this Proposition B, I think it is, the arbitration clause, where for 4 years we've been begging them to come to the table to negotiate a contract. They have refused. Chris Steele now has orchestrated a petition that gives only the fire union, no other union, only the fire union, the sole authority at any time to declare impasse and to seek third-party binding arbitration. So a third-party binding arbitrator would come to our city and basically say, okay, fire union, what do you want? City, what do you need? And we'll split the middle. And they have no regard for the issues and the challenges we have to balance the budget and the equity we need to build into our community. They're just going to split the difference. So you know that emperor has no clothes when he asks for a law that says he never has to come to the table to negotiate again.
We have invited Chris Steele onto the air. We've had him on in the past. We would make available anytime he wants to stop by. The Firefighters Union headquarters right down the street from us, right down the street from the studios. Chris Steele, come on by. We'll put you on the air. You can respond to what you're hearing now from Mayor Ron Nuremberg. We're going to take another break. It's a two-minute break. We'll come back. We've got a lot of callers lined up. I've got some email questions I got to get to the mayor as well. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Mayor Ron Nuremberg. We're taking on the hot topic of what's in these propositions, these charter changes that are on the ballot. They are, without an argument, everyone agrees on this. These charter changes would be big changes to the way that we run the city of San Antonio. The firefighters agree, and everyone else who looks at this says this is going to change San Antonio. So the question is, are we really aware of what these changes are going to do for San Antonio? What are they going to do to your city? If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 210-614-8980. And we have Sloan on the air. And Sloan, welcome. You're on the air.
My question is how would Proposition A specifically disenfranchise voters? Because from my understanding, these propositions would allow 3% of voters to overturn any city council decision. Thus, why would young people or any other voter want to vote in city council elections if it could be overturned so easily?
Sloan, thank you for your call.
Thank you for your call, Sloan. I think she's come to the right conclusion, frankly. Proposition A would lower the threshold for petitions for anything to be thrown onto the ballot that the city council would do. It would also extend the time period for collection of those signatures from what it is currently 40 days to 180 days, 6 months. And it would also open up the aperture for anything that the city council does, a zoning change, a budget line item, a street project, could now be subject to that lower petition threshold. And what I would say is, let's be clear, the current process works, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. We're having an election because there were petitions filed. And what this proposition would do, though, is make it really, really easy with any special interest, with enough money to go pay those $2 per petition that the fire union did, to throw anything that the city did onto the ballot. Any special interest who has enough, who has a couple folks standing out in front of a Walmart on a long weekend could accomplish this. And that means every cop on the street, every street project, every investment in a park would be subject to a petition and could be overturned in that process. It's untenable. And what that does is allow special interests to have control over the ballot, not citizens of San Antonio who pass routinely projects and the city council that passes a budget that's balanced every year.
So the way things are right now, we have a petition process, but we're not allowed to have petitions to directly lower tax rates or directly set the what we pay for our utilities.
Right.
And but with these charter changes, if it is approved, then that's now something that could be changed through a petition.
Yeah, and you know how that would go. I mean,
how would it go?
Well, who would vote to raise their own taxes? Who would vote knowing that, you know, $70 million is going to on a major highway or major roadway project when that money could come right back home if they put it onto the ballot? That is the level of chaos and uncertainty that is leading to the negative impacts on our credit and the gridlock that has, citizens so concerned from all corners of the city. Because any given day, on the council dais, we have to make decisions that are in the best interest of the entirety of San Antonio. And sometimes that means major roadway projects in one part of town and not in another. Sometimes that means major parks in one part of town. I'll take, for instance, Pearsall Park, which was a major investment, a long time coming in south side of San Antonio. Ray Saldana worked on that his entire tenure. It's a beautiful park. But if any corner of the city could generate enough petitions, they could, at the very least, put it on the ballot and make it wait. Those investments would not come. That's what's causing the level of uncertainty that puts our financial health at stake.
5 years ago, the city was debating a non-discrimination ordinance to protect people in the city, particularly LGBTQ, and also veterans, anyone who is subject to discrimination. It was something that was a hot topic, and the city council passed it. And there were recall efforts for people who supported it. Do you think that if we had these measures passed, if we had these petition power, such a low barrier, people could do this, you know, willy-nilly, that we would have had the leadership in order to pass a non-discrimination ordinance?
Not when the leadership has to check with those special interests before passing any measure. The non-discrimination ordinance was a controversial time. It was one of my first times on council, first major items on council, and I remember that very clearly. It was a very difficult issue.
We heard a lot of fear-mongering,
a lot of
stuff that didn't happen. All these crazy ideas.
Right.
If you pass this, this is what the city's going to turn into. Didn't happen. We've actually turned the city into a better place.
But the point is, on that issue, people had a lot of differing opinions. And the city council had to come together and figure out what's the best decision to move this entire city forward. What's the right thing to do? Not how many sources do, you know, how many special interests do we need to check off before we get there? We had to figure out what is the right thing to do, and we did that. But if every decision we made that was controversial had that kind of petition threshold, things will not get done. And that is not the way city governance ought to operate. That's the level of gridlock that we now see and are familiar with at D.C., and that's the level of partisanship we see even in the State House. We don't have the luxury here in San Antonio, because if the street doesn't get paved, if the police officer doesn't get hired, if the firefighters don't have the modern equipment, which we have to pass every single day as a line item on the budget, if each one of those things were subject to such a low petition threshold, that's the kind of gridlock that doesn't allow anything to get done. And if it doesn't happen, if it doesn't get done at the city, nobody else is going to do it.
Got an email from Anthony. I would like Mr. Nuremberg to expand on just how small the minority pushing this agenda really is. Firefighters represent such a small interest, yet they are essentially trying to take over the enormous city via its government, appealing to the citizens' sympathies because of a uniform and preying on misinformed citizenry is not appropriate. So that's
well,
the email.
I think that Chris Steele wants you to think it's about firefighters. But it's not. In fact, we all know now the infamous story of him actually putting on a fake uniform. These things are the ultimate con job. The talking points that they're using about giving people a voice, empowering citizens, are completely false and deceptive, and they're seductive is the problem. But the truth of the matter is, as I mentioned, Chris Steele illegally used money, it turns out. They admitted to that. To go fund a petition drive with an out-of-town company that all they do is petition drives like this. They did it in Houston, and they're doing it here. They're from Buda, Texas, and they paid folks about $2 a petition to essentially deceive people into what they were signing, thinking that it was going to help firefighters. It's not. It's actually going to go make it harder for us to fund the necessary basics of the city. So in my estimation, it's a very small group of people who are agitating the citizens of San Antonio with this petition drive. All told, they acquired just over 20,000 signatures per petition. And they did it three times for three different positions. That's why they're using a number that's inflated. But truthfully, it was just over 20,000 signatures per petition, and they've got three proposals on the ballot. Every homeowners association that I go to that isn't hijacked by their special interests and the Manuel Medinas of the world. Every homeowners association, every business meeting, every neighbor I talk to, when they hear what is going on, they're outraged. They're outraged that Chris Steele can perpetrate on this on the public. They're outraged that the future of San Antonio that we are all working to contribute to is on the line. And they're encouraged to go vote no and to tell their friends and family and neighbors and employees about it. And, you know, I would ask the same. We can't do this alone. I'm asking for your help as mayor of San Antonio to help us protect and secure the future of our city. That's what my job is to, in times like this, to defend it, to defend you. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm asking for your help to help defend our city along with us and make sure that we continue our trajectory of prosperity.
On the phones, we have Rochelle. And Rochelle, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, Mayor. I just want to thank you for all you're doing. I've spent a lot of time working with labor, and for me, Prop C is the most troubling. I think it puts our city budget at risk, and it sounds a little bit like the firefighters want to pick their own referee, so to speak. Can you explain that proposition to me a little bit better?
Rochelle, thank you for your call.
Yeah, so Proposition C, and this is the language, I have it here. It says, shall the city charter be amended to provide the International Association of Firefighters Local 624 with unilateral authority to require the city to participate in binding arbitration of all issues in dispute with association within 45 days of the city's receipt of the association's written arbitration request. The firefighters' contract is at roughly $254 million of your taxpayer dollars. In the 4 years that the current contract has been expired, Chris Steele has refused to go to the negotiating table. His team has refused to go to the negotiating table so we can work out what is supposed to be a collectively bargained contract. We currently know that healthcare costs have been rising 2.5 times faster than city revenues. It's simply unsustainable and is the cause of bankruptcy of a lot of cities like Detroit, is what you've heard of. But we have to get this under control. And in a collectively bargained environment that many unions have fought for the right to do, it requires two parties to be at the table. We simply have not gotten that from Chris Steele and from his union leaders. So instead, they have been simply attacking the city, vilifying the city manager and the mayor and the council. And now they want to put this Proposition C on the ballot that is self-interested. It's totally about them and Chris. It doesn't benefit any other labor union. And in fact, would write into city law the ability for them not to ever have to go to the negotiating table.
All right, we're taking another break. We've got Mayor Ron Nuremberg with us in the studio taking your calls. Got a full board here. Maybe he can squeeze you in if you call right now, 210-614-8980, talking about the proposed charter amendments on the source. Back in 1 minute. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting starts in a few weeks for the midterm elections. Many people will be going to the polls because they're intrigued by Beto O'Rourke versus Ted Cruz and other major races that we've got going on. There's a blue wave coming we keep hearing about. What does that mean for the mechanics as we talk about these three propositions for the city? We're joined by Mayor Ron Nuremberg. He and others are opposed to these amendments that have been put forth by the Firefighters Union. And I'm sure y'all are digging deep into the horse race aspects of what's going to happen with turnout. What can you tell us? What insights do you have about what do you think, who's going to go vote, and will they be likely to vote no?
Yeah, well, I let the consultants handle that part of it. I'm simply trying to talk to as many neighbors as I can and keep people from being misinformed by the union, Chris Steele and his leadership. This is what I know. The election in November is a different animal. There's a lot of unexpecteds. We know it's going to be a big turnout. We expect upwards of 300,000 people to go vote, which is a huge turnout in relative to other elections, especially midterms. So here's the interesting part. A high turnout municipal election, the one that elects a mayor and city council, gets roughly 110,000, 115,000 voters to the polls. We expect about 300,000 people to this election because of all the reasons you just mentioned. That means almost two-thirds of the people, 200,000 of them, will never have voted in a municipal election before in their life. And that's part of their strategy, their scheme, is to get this in front of as many people who are unfamiliar with things like the city charter, the city manager, or the petition process as possible so they can mislead them. That ultimately is our challenge, is to make sure that people have information. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on here, Dave. And that's also a great example of why Chris Steele is ducking for cover, because he can't explain this. He can't defend this kind of assault on our community. But I'm encouraged. I am truly encouraged, and I'm confident that we are going to win. And this is why. Every conversation I have, which is an honest, open conversation with people, they walk away understanding that this is bad and they have to go vote no on A, B, and C in November. But I'm also encouraged by the fact that that's the history of San Antonio. We are people with compassion. We are people who see goodness in our community. We're a community that doesn't like people assaulting it, trying to harm it, and we rally around that point. We've done it year after year, time after time, and we're going to do that again. But it requires you who are listening to help, because we simply can't reach everyone ourselves. We have to have neighbors talking to neighbors.
Got a question from Facebook. Kate wants to know where the money is coming from for the Vote No campaign.
It's coming from all sectors. I can tell you.
But the chamber, your local chamber of commerce is on board of voting no, right?
Yeah, which represents almost the entirety of the business community. I know we have some of the largest employers in San Antonio who have given generously to the campaign, and we thank them for that. We also have small businesses involved. We have citizens. We have neighbors writing $10 checks because everyone agrees on this one point. The future that we are envisioning for San Antonio that we want to leave for our children and our grandchildren is not worth compromising to give special interest control over City Hall because we don't they don't like something a decision
like,
that we made.
Mr. Morgan's Wonderland.
Gordon Hartman is the treasurer for the campaign, and he has spent his life in building San Antonio, but also in philanthropy in San Antonio, and I can't thank him enough for taking this on. It's been a huge task. And we've had limited time to do it, and we're working against the grain in many times because the misinformation that's coming from the other camp is so seductive and abundant. A lot of what I'm having to do is make sure that people are level set on the actual facts of the campaign. I've walked into meetings where the other side is simply lying. Not deceiving, but simply lying about the city budget, about the city manager, about city council. And unfortunately, the level of municipal government awareness in a November cycle is much lower. So I have to go in and level set and give people facts. And that's why we need everybody who cares about the future of the city, who believes in, you know, this being a great city for our children and grandchildren, to make this their number one priority. We cannot take the risk that whoever it is in your life who views you as credible and understanding these issues doesn't hear from you that they have to go vote no on A, B, and C.
Now we'll go back to the phones. David Hurd is with us. David Hurd of Tech Block is in the queue. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, thank you, David. I just wanted to say that the tech community, from large employer to small, is very frightened by the prospect of these three propositions going through. You know, we have made so much progress in this city over the last 5 to 10 years, I would argue more than we made over the previous 30. Everybody can feel it. Everybody can see it. We're becoming a city, not just a loose collection of neighborhoods. We've been a very suburban community for most of our history, and we're starting to build a unified city that can be appealing to employers across the country. We're on a mission to bring great paying jobs to San Antonio for all of our citizens. And these kind of propositions put all of that at risk. It puts the recent progress at risk. And I had the honor of co-chairing the Streets, Bridges, Sidewalks Committee for the last bond initiative. And I will tell you that when it came time for all of us to agree to invest in projects that were projects that benefited the entire city, not a particular neighborhood, it was always a difficult conversation. And I saw the potential for neighborhoods to begin to draw battle lines against one another and fight over just streets that only benefited them or projects that only benefited them. And I think that this kind of initiative, if it goes through, these propositions will open up a political environment of chaos-like mob rule, special interest-driven rule here, the like that we can't fully anticipate today. I think everybody needs to wake up, tune in, understand the threat, and see through sort of a tantrum-filled, fraudulent nature of these attacks from not firefighters, from their union president.
Okay, David Hurd, I got to cut you off because we're running out of time. I want to get CJ on the air. CJ, go ahead. Sorry I kept you waiting, but boy, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Norman, for your service. Beautiful city. I'm from the East Coast. I just want to say just a few things. I'm going to be real quick about it. I live on the West Side, and we're kind of a depressed neighborhood. I'm over here by Haven for Hope. Councilperson number 5, Shirley Gonzalez, I voted for. I've been waiting to see the changes. I love the parks we have in this city. Great parks. Best parks I've ever seen in the United States. I've lived in Virginia.
Right. But CJ, you're a vote yes? That's what your support talking about?
Yes. I'm thinking voting yes, and this is my reason why. I come from the East Coast, and we have neighborhood planning units where before you all make decisions, rather than watch TV, your council thing, you all come to the neighborhood and talk to the people and say you meet the different areas. And I don't see that going on, so there's no cohesion. So, yeah I'm from Mob Rule.
All right, CJ. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate you calling in. Well, so Mayor Ron Nuremberg, CJ's comments.
Thank you to both David and to CJ, because I think these two callers are, they're talking about the same issue. And the truth of the matter is, CJ, mob rule is not what you want. You want representatives who pay attention to you and who listen to your concerns. And I will tell you, we have the hardest time in the world to get people out to the community meetings. I know for a fact that Shirley Gonzalez on the West Side is going door to door asking for your priorities. And we did that into the city budget every year as well as in the bond campaigns. And here's what I will tell you. Help is on the way. For the first time in our city's history, We have said that it's no longer okay to be a prosperous city if we're not also an equitable one, meaning that in this FY19 budget, we're going to have more resources going to streets and sidewalks and infrastructure and services to the west side because they have been left behind. Same thing is true for the second year in a row on the east side. This council has had the audacity to talk about things that nobody wanted to talk about and had the political courage to talk about for a generation, and that is it's no longer okay just to be a prosperous city. We also have to be one in which every zip code, whether you're 78207 or 782249 or wherever you are, you have the same you have an opportunity to be to live in a great city and to have chances for prosperity. And so that kind of equity is what we're building every policy and program on.
But I am hearing from people who see the slogans, power of the people. This is a people-driven campaign from the Vote Yes people, from the Firefighters Union. They see this as a way that it will give their community more authority, more power at the polls.
And it's simply not true, because when you have divisions rather than unity, people working together, it doesn't work. So here's my point. When you lower the petition threshold so that special interests with enough money to purchase the petitions and can get out and put anything on the ballot, that equity agenda that I just talked about, the fact that Shirley and District 5 are getting some significant infrastructure relief because of the vision of Councilwoman Gonzalez and the rest of the city council and the city supporting that, that's out the window, because you can darn well bet that if another community would want to throw that project or budget onto the agenda, they can do that. And any special interest now with money, not any citizen, but any special interest with money to participate in this cottage industry of petition peddling can now do that and throw any of those projects into chaos. That's not what we need. We need to actually have a community that works together, and we're starting to build that. The only one who's left out of that is Chris Steele and the special interests. Inserting them into the decision-making is not going to make progress. It's actually going to take power away from the people.
Do you think you're going to debate Chris Steele? You were supposed to do one. He did no show. Don't you have another one scheduled coming up?
I hope to. The question is, does Chris Steele want to debate me? And that we found out the answer once, but he still has an opportunity to come forward and
talk about it. I think the League of Women Voters has one scheduled. I don't think I'm supposed to moderate that, you know, between you and Chris Steele.
I hope he shows up, because this is the truth. This has been orchestrated by Chris Steele, and he needs to explain and defend why he's trying to do this kind of damage to our city.
Well, we know this is going to cause changes to the city. We got to figure out what this is going to do, how they came up with this proposal. We have invited Chris Steele to come on the air. We have had him on in the past. Chris Steele, if you're listening, give us a call. Anytime you want to be on, let us know. We'll give you the mic. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You can talk just like Mayor Ron Nuremberg did for the last hour, addressing the citizens, answering questions about the proposed charter amendments. I want to thank you, Mayor Ron Nuremberg, for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.